The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
Oh yeah, there is nothing like going into the danger zone and finding out where investors are getting in trouble so that you can perhaps not get into the same kinds of trouble. And we do this each week with David Trainer. Now, if you're not familiar with New Constructs, you should go to newconstructs.com or follow them on Twitter at New Constructs or do both of those things. But you should understand that New Constructs rates securities on a scale that runs from most attractive to most dangerous. And each week here on Money Life, we delve into some of the issues that are a little bit more frightening with David Trainer. David, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be with you, Chuck.
Who is in the danger zone this week?
The Wilmington Small Cap Growth Fund.
Danger, danger.
PAX.
Okay, that ticker symbol again is ARPAX, because I think I squashed it with the sounder. Last week, you issued a blanket warning about small cap value, but this is small cap growth. So I want to know why it's in the danger zone, and then I want to know that difference there in terms of somebody might hear it and think, wow, he's just all up against small caps, period.
Great question. Small cap value funds in general were put into the danger zone because the managers and ETF providers in that space did such a horrendous job in terms of picking quality stocks. They didn't pick any quality stocks despite a large amount of capital or stocks available for investment that were quality. And it's almost just coincidental that this is also a small cap fund, because this could apply to any fund. The issue this month is not actually as much about holdings as it is about costs. We do a proprietary analysis on the cost of a fund, and the only thing that's really proprietary about it is that it's all inclusive, Chuck, right? Typically, you can easily find an expense ratio for the funds and the front end loads and those other things. They're out there. They're not as easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to get information on the impact of transaction costs on funds. We pull all of that together to provide investors one number so they can really get a sense of what the cost of being in that fund is. And that's why Wilmington Small Cap Growth Fund is in the danger zone this month.
Well, let's explain how bad the costs are.
The total annual cost of holding this fund, assuming a 3-year holding period, is 8.51%.
Oh, my. People need to understand that's way beyond the expense ratio, because that includes a couple of things. Some everybody's going to pay, some maybe not, because that includes sales charges, but that also includes things like transaction costs. Everybody's going to pay transaction costs. Those don't normally show up in the expense ratio. That's part of you going through the statement of additional information and getting that information. But what all is lumped in there that makes this so far above the fund's stated expense ratio, which is closer to 1.5?
That's right. The expense ratio is just 1.47%, but there is a 5.5% front-end load. That equates to 2.1% annualized over a 3-year holding period. See, most people don't realize, like, that front-end load, it hurts you into perpetuity, because the amount of capital that you're able to put into that fund, no matter what the growth rate of the fund, the amount of capital you put in is permanently handicapped or lowered by the sales charge or the front-end load.
There's no question about that. I will caution one thing there, which is that folks who might get funds where they're not paying a sales charge, so they're paying 1% of assets under management to a financial advisor, they think, look, I'm avoiding that cost. They're not avoiding that cost. It's just not able for somebody like you to figure it out. They're paying 1% of assets that, oh, by the way, it's like adding 1% to the expense ratio of the fund as well.
Correct. Correct.
So beyond the load, what else is in that expense ratio?
Transaction costs. So when we go through and we look at the amount of turnover of this fund annualized, which is reported in the filing for the mutual fund, the annual report for the mutual fund, we found that the turnover ratio for this mutual fund was 561%.
Whoa.
And that equates, due to some proprietary calculations we developed doing a lot of study on the implication of trading costs and portfolio turnover, the implications on the cost to investors, and that comes out to 4.7. The cost to investors for that 560% annual turnover is 4.74%. That's annualized per year in trading costs that investors are having to eat for being in this fund.
How does this wind up translating into performance? I mean, you say that, of course, the reason that you dislike the fund and that the fund is in the danger zone is because of costs. But truthfully, high costs would be okay if returns were so great that they somehow justified them.
That's exactly right. And that's what I emphasize all the time, is that, look, it's not all about costs. Costs don't drive performance, right? No matter how low your costs, if the stocks that the fund holds are no good, you're not going to see good performance. So it's really about holdings. Well, the holdings in this fund are not good either, right? The 30% of the portfolio is in dangerous or worse rated stocks, right? 20% is in attractive or better. But the thing is, when the costs are this high, it really wouldn't even matter if twice as much of the fund were in attractive or better rated stocks. You know, costs this high are really just crippling to potential performance. And one of the things we put in all of our reports is exactly how much the fund has to outperform its benchmark in order to justify its higher costs. And for ARPX, that's 8.2% annually over 3 years, or 6.7% annually over 10 years. That's how much it has to outperform its benchmark in order to justify its costs.
Yeah, well, that's not happening for any fund. But it's why Wilmington Funds, Wilmington Small Cap Growth, ARPAX, is this week's pick in the danger zone. If you want more information, go to newconstructs.com and or follow them on Twitter at newconstructs. David Trainer, love the way you break this stuff down for us. Thanks so much for doing it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chuck. Great to be with you.
There is much more to go on the Monday, March the 4th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Money Life Market Call. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.